Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is February 1st. One down, 11 to go. Right?
Right.
Okay. Come on, guys. You're going to chat with me here. So it is the first of the month. Listen, we got Michael Sager back from OutTrain Performance. We had you in last week. Mm-hmm. Who was the guy we brought in?
We had Jairus Halsey.
Jairus Halsey. Loved Jairus Halsey. Mm-hmm. Loved to hear his story. That day, we were going to try to bring a few people in, but it's always sort of hard to get everybody's schedule right.
Yeah, because most of our guys are still going through their kind of last semester of classes, all going to be graduating here in the spring, all have internships on top of their commitment with us of going through their NFL Combine prep training. So it was very fortunate to be back on the show with you guys again and bring our second round of NFL Combine prep athletes on the show and kind of share their stories and let people know kind of who they are.
Well, listen, I'm pinching myself because I think this is so cool. I am a big fan of football, and I love the NFL, and I love NFL football players. I love college players. I love, you know, anybody that's passionate about a sport, and it's just one of my favorite things. And to meet guys like yourselves, it's just so. So let's introduce you. So we got Kevin DeShields.
Yes, sir.
Let me make sure we hear you.
My name is Kevin DeShields.
Perfect. Well, you didn't have to say. I just want to make sure we had that mic on. And then we got Dwayne.
Jawan.
We already had this conversation. We were going to screw it up. So, Jawan Granger.
Yes, sir.
Well, good to see you guys. So, share with a little bit of your story.
Okay. My name is Kevin DeShields. I'm from Bristol, New Jersey, which is the south side of Jersey. Grew up playing football. I started playing football at the age of 5. Nice. I started at Bristol Midget Football League. Played for the Bulls. Then,
So, real quick, were you a big kid? I mean, were everybody like, man, you need to play football? Is this something?
No, honestly, it started with me playing soccer. I was about, okay, like, probably, 4'11", like, 5 years old. And I was playing soccer, and I would tackle the kids. And I tackled a female one time. And my mom was like, the kid parents was like, okay, I'm out of here. And my mom was like, that's my baby. You can do what you want. And I was like, you're playing football. So I went to football, and I was scared to hit those guys. So it took me a while to get adjusted.
I saw a clip on something, and this kid was, I think, playing lacrosse. And this big guy's banging him. And his mom comes running out, and she's like, get off of him. Like, he's like, Mom. But, yeah, that's...
I was a very small kid, but very chubby. Very, very, you know, very...
Solid. Yes, sir. You had potential.
Yeah, potential.
For size.
Yeah, but I ain't gonna lie, I was chubby. I was a chubby guy. I sneak in the kitchen at night. Yeah, I was a very chubby little boy.
Listen, I think we should be a little chubby as kids. I mean, that's, you know, you don't want to peak too early.
Yeah.
So you started, you got interested early, yes, first sir. With soccer, and then started... get an idea about football, and I'm sure, were you watching it? Was your family watching football?
Yes, my family actually are big Cowboys and Eagles fans.
Let's go.
So it's a big feud. Everything is given when they play. It's a big feud, but I didn't choose either side. I don't really watch football like that. I just, you know, I study the game and watch film on it, but I don't really watch it, so I don't really choose a team.
That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
So high school? Middle school?
Middle school, kept playing with midget leagues. As I got to high school, freshman year I played. Didn't really get in a lot of time, really didn't play, you know, just typical freshman. Didn't really stand out. Sophomore year, I tried to go to a rival school, tried to transfer to Vineland High School. And it failed because, you know, I couldn't live out there with my grandfather. So they benched me, my coach said I couldn't play. So I became a mascot.
Nice.
Just to be close to the guys because I love the game so much. It's like, you can't keep away from the game. So I was a 5'9", 275-pound kid running around in a tight bulldog mascot suit. Running the crowd, yeah, getting laughed at and all that.
Listen, man, I love that. I love that story because, you know, and I have kids. You know, my kid, my son, he just, you know, he loves trying to catch the football with one hand, right? He just, you know, kids today, they just love the glory, right? Yeah. And, you know, he's also, and I give my son a lot of credit because he wanted to play basketball, didn't make the team. But he did make the practice team.
Yeah.
And he hung in there and he stayed and did the practice team. I said, maybe you'll make the team next year. He's But you know, it's a lot of time the message is if you can't get exactly what you want right away, we just quit.
Yeah.
Right. And yes. I love the fact that we learn a lot of great lessons from that. You know, we don't make the team, but listen, like I told Sam, I said, listen, show up early. You know, how can I help? Yeah. You know, put the balls away. You know, like they say with every great chef, he's gone through whether it was washing dishes, right? Mm-hmm. The whole lineup. At least you know exactly every position that goes through there. So I love that story. And I think we need to have that story out there, is that just because you don't make the varsity, right, or just because you don't make the greatest team, doesn't mean you can't become, you know, something
great.
Awesome.
Because on top of that, I never started. You know, I never was a starter in midget league. I never was a starter in high school until my senior year, obviously. I was never a starter like I went to college. I was always third string, even at Dell State. You know, I was first string prior like season, and I'll be second string and third string. So it was like I'm showing people that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what position you play or what string you are. If you're good, they'll find you.
Well, you know? And it shows you have some character.
Yeah, I have a lot of character.
Not a character. There's a difference. You don't want to be a character. Right. You want to have character. But people learn, you know, you may take two different people and both that can do the same thing very well, but you learn about their character and you're like, gosh, you know, as I own a hair salon and we do chair rental and, you know, we have an open chair and someone's like, well, I got something that we can put in there. And I go, I got to see character, because this one person could absolutely flip over the apple cart.
Yes, sir.
And we would all be out of work.
All it takes is one map.
Yeah, and I think in the end that becomes very important. So it's a great story.
Thank you.
But so you get out of high school, or are you still in high school?
Oh, no, sir. I'm in Dell State. So I graduate high school in 2018.
That's a real question. These kids are really good early.
2018, I go to Lackawanna College at the age of 17 years old by myself. And mind you, I'm the youngest of three children on my mom's side, and it's two older girls. So I'm the only boy. So I'm the baby, mama's boy. So I'm in Lackawanna College by myself, and I'm up there with grown men. I'm up there with Coach Mark Duda, and, you know, he's my D-line coach and my head coach. So I'm trying to get adjusted to that, and I'm like, yo, I want to go home. Like, I'm scared. I'm up here by myself. There's a bunch of grown men. Like, these guys are 6'7". I'm 6 foot. Like, I wasn't even as tall as I am now. So I'm 6 foot. I'm like, I'm scared. But I went there. I played. I got activated the fourth game. I got redshirted. And when I got redshirted, I thought it was over, because he's like, you're overweight. You know, you're 360 pounds. You're 375. Like, you can't play more than two plays without getting tired. So I had to sacrifice that. And when he told me I was redshirted, I left his office and started running laps around Scranton.
What does redshirted mean?
Redshirt means that you're not really fully developed and ready to play college football yet. You have some development to do. And that's not a bad thing. You know, it's you get extra year to show you can play. So
more character.
More character. It wasn't really a bad thing, but I looked at it as a bad thing. And one of my friends, Jaquan Brisker, who's on the Chicago Bears, and him and a couple other big guys were like, hey, it's not a bad thing to get redshirted, bro. Like, I've been redshirted before, and all the guys just uplifted me and told me it wasn't a bad thing. But that fourth game against Nassau, I got in, and I got a sack, and they went downhill from that.
No more red shirt.
And after that, next season, we won 24 games like I went to college. My 2 years there, I never lost a game. And so the last of my last season, we went to East Mississippi and lost the championship game. That was the only game I lost. So I went 23-1 at that school. And it's a great thing. I met a lot of great guys there. Then I transferred to I was en route of going to Rutgers. I got the attention of the coaches there, and I just had like a big stellar season. I like want to get interceptions, and you know, so they really, I was on their radar. I happened to commit there, but Chris Ash was fired, you know, and I lost all that. So Coach Mills, Rob Mills from Dell State, came to me and he offered me Dell State, and I took the opportunity and I ran with it. You know,
no pun intended.
No pun intended. Just no thinking. Just straight motion. Went into that, and I just went to that with a calm head. Went in my first COVID season, and I had a lot of tackles for loss. I think I had about 9 tackles for loss, out of like what, 4 or 5 games, and it was a lot. And then I came back the next season, blocked field goals, a lot of tackles, and then we kind of this season, a lot of tackles, but barely played. But we still stood out when it was time to play. So I think my time at Dell State and my time playing football over the line, I've really proved to myself and proved to others that I'm capable of playing this sport at the highest level.
Well, one of the challenges with when someone like yourself becomes really great at a position is they double team you or they throw more people at you. You know, you see it all the time. You'll see a player that's, you know, whether in the NFL or something else, and they dominate, and then the next year they are pretty much quiet.
Yes, sir.
And that's, I think, where we figure out the character, because you can, you know, lose your mind when you get put, you know, with so many people on you, you can't perform like you would like to.
Yes.
You know, you have to figure out, I guess, I'm a good distraction, right?
Yeah, it's all about just, you know, staying calm, just keeping a cool head. I meditate a lot, thanks to my friend Isaiah. Isaiah, he taught me a lot about meditating and, you know, getting in tune with yourself before a game. So that's what helped me keep a cool head and keeps focused. So when I do get double teaming games, I know how to split double teams. I know how to read out formations. I know when I'm going to get double teamed. So it's a lot of things that come behind the scenes, more than just playing football. It's all mental.
Well, listen, meditation's awesome. I just did a podcast with my buddy Trey Bell, and it was about meditation. And, you know, we live in such a world now that it's hard. When I was a kid, we, you know, really what was on my plate in front of me is really what I dealt with. You know, I had school. Right. After school, I came home, rode my bicycle,
right,
had fun, went home, watched a little bit of TV, and went to bed. And today we have this, whether it's YouTube or the news or social media, but it's just so much to carry around. And 99% of it really isn't relevant to us. But for some reason, we focus some attention or energy towards it. And it can take away from other things. So I love that you talk about that meditation, because some people are like, hey, I ain't doing that. That's crazy. Meditation.
It's actually good for your body.
It's very good.
Yes, sir.
It's good for the mind.
Yes, it is. It is. It helps calm, because I've also, you know, seen a lot of trauma in my life. And I'm a Leo, so, you know, I'm a big-hearted person, too, on top of that. So it's like,
I've,
you know,
some Leos.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a lot, man. So it's good to meditate sometimes and keep your head, you know, keep your mind sane. You know.
Well, I love it. So, Juwan?
What's up, man?
Let's hear yours. Let's get a little of your story. So your position is?
Defense tackle, nose tackle.
Any famous, not that it matters, but in case someone wants an idea of what that position, any famous people or famous players or great players that we can look at that would, so that people know exactly where you're playing.
You can look at Fletcher Cox, Derek Brown, wins at Auburn, Linval Joseph, Quentin, favorite, my twin, Quentin Williams on the Jets.
Yeah. Is Aaron Rodgers going to Jets?
Yeah, possibly.
Start trouble.
He didn't want to go there.
Nah.
Well, so let's hear a little of your story.
First of all, I'm a local guy. I'm from Newcastle, Delaware. So,
awesome.
You know, I grew up. I wasn't born in Delaware, but I moved to, like, I was in third or fourth grade. So I embraced being here my whole life. I started playing football at the age of six.
Nice.
I played other sports, basketball, ran track, played golf.
Do you think it's important to have other sports in your life?
I think so. Not just for, say, versatility, but, like, you never know what you're going to gravitate to more, you know?
Right.
I gravitate football more because I feel like it gave me some life lessons. It was, for instance, like a coach will always say, do your job, do your job, do your job. So it never like hit me until I got a little older, but it kind of hit me with, you can only control what you can control.
I saw an interview with Aaron Rodgers, I think a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
This process that, you know, if everybody just does the process,
right,
then it should work out great. And I think the question was, when does the process start? You know, and
right,
the reality is, I think it starts like at six,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because understanding that we all play a part, like we had to all come together this morning to get this process going, right?
Right.
If one person doesn't do the process right,
it
makes the process not look
right.
good. So I think it's good to have that as a message, especially with younger kids, that, you know, we're all part of the process, regardless of what it looks like. And just because it doesn't, maybe our part isn't so shiny and out there, doesn't mean it isn't just as important.
Right.
Welcome. What's up, man? How are you?
Welcome, Ron.
It's good, bro.
You want him to sit here?
Yeah,
you can let him sit. So listen, yeah. So another gentleman walked in. I do not know your name. So what is your name?
Ron Johnson.
Ron Johnson.
How you doing, boss?
I love it. Put your headphones on so you can hear us. There you go.
We live.
Right, we live, man. How are you? We're actually not live. we're recording, but we are not live. Well, great to have you, man. Thank you for being here.
Definitely.
But so. Yeah, so the process. And so sometimes it doesn't look always like we think, but it is important.
Right. So I got a small family. It's just my mother, my older brother, and my younger sister. And then my grandmother you know, she is a city girl, so she lives in Chicago. So,
okay.
But she's in tune. She comes to all the games as much as she can. But, you know, she's really like being out there by herself. You know, she grew up out there, so she'd rather stay out there rather than being out here in the suburbs. But
it's always fun when you have that family member that's so supportive. I think, if, and you guys mentioned Kelsey and Travis, or Kelsey, the guys from the Eagles and from
Travis Kelsey.
I guess the mom like really has to pick and choose what game she's going to watch.
I guess she will obviously
be at the Super Bowl, but that's a funny, unique situation. But they always have that family member that's so passionate about their grandson or son or whatever it is.
So family kind of small, so we always put each other. I would say like our dreams into each other's paths, you know, like what my mom feels, I feel, what my brother feels, I feel, my sister. So we really in tune with each other. So when I decided to play football, my mother was kind of shaky at first. You know, my first practice, I got tackled really hard, and I kind of was like a little whine. I was whining.
Was that the air leaving your body?
Yeah, a little whine.
Trying to figure out how to get back in.
So she thought I was, you know, spent all that money for me to just play one time, one practice, and I was done for. But I came back next day, different attitude. And I play cornerback now, but back then I grew up playing running back. So all little league and all through middle school, I was a running back. I didn't play defense as much. I didn't like getting hit. I didn't really like touching nobody. I was just fast. I was easy. I kind of, you know, Kevin from New Jersey, so, but I played on the travel team for Lil League, so I played all through the similar teams he played with, and I was actually fortunate to get on an all-star team and be the only one from Delaware to go to California.
Well, it is, you know, it's great that you've, you know, used several different sports. I've heard people that say that, you know, they'll be in baseball or whatever it is, and you know, feeling pretty much in shape, and then go to the other sport and realize, oh, I'm not in football shape or soccer shape or whatever it is. I don't know what, you know, sports come across each other. But so it's great. You know, my oldest son does cross-country track. A lot of the people on the team are on different sports, and they come and just kind of – they're not there to win. Right. Maybe they are, but they're really – seems like just to – keep their, you know, their aerobics up, and their, it's just to stay in shape. So it's awesome that you have all those opportunities.
Appreciate it. And leading up to going to high school, I did a lot of outside training. You know, figuring out where I wanted to go to high school. I mean, looked at all the local schools, of course, because you know, from Delaware. And then it was a phase where I was going to go to Red Lion. Red Lion had a nice thing going. They had new coaching there, you know, private school, good education, you know, and then their sports was going up. So they would play a lot of out-of-state schools. So I was training there all summer, anytime, winter, anytime I didn't have my own football responsibilities. And then unfortunately, something happened in that path where the coaches there at Red Lion decided they're going to move to Maryland and make their own school. And
personalities over principles.
And that's where I went to high school. It was called Eastern Christian Academy.
Oh, so you went with them?
Yep.
Okay.
I went there. We had a lot of D1 guys, like a lot. So it was like you got to play up, play your role. Mm. If you don't want to get left behind, you know? Yeah. So it was competition every day. So for instance, wide receiver, I was a freshman, he was a senior. His name was Freddie Canteen. He was going to Michigan. Freddie, well respected guy. He would cook me every day as a freshman. I'm a freshman. I ain't built up yet. I'm like 5'6", 5'7", and I'm about like 150 pounds, 150.
Right.
And that competition going against him every day built me up. So I'm there. And I started as a freshman. You know, I played nickelback, you know.
So can you, what does that mean?
Oh, so.
Is that just 5 yards off?
No.
Is that where nickel comes from?
It's instant for where, you know, the linebacker, outside linebacker.
Yeah.
They would take his position and put a cornerback there.
Okay.
So, you know, mismatch with the slot receiver.
I love watching the defense, and I try to figure it out, but then they're like in a quarter, nickel. I'm like, is that just 5 yards off? What is this? What is, somebody tell me.
Nah, he
what
just does this mean? He just had the same responsibilities as an outside linebacker, but, you know, he's a cornerback, so he can cover better.
So your position is a defense, and you're talking about a wide receiver, which is offense. So you two usually come together at some point and have a
every
conversation
day,
about it. Yeah,
every practice.
That's awesome.
That's all I have to do is guard him every day.
There's so many cool opportunities for people that are in football or other sports, but, you know, and on YouTube, man, we can see it all, right? These one-on-one competitions.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I went down a rabbit hole, and I forget the guy that kind of runs it, but this guy that was, I guess he was a wide receiver, he had this mask on, this clown mask, but he was catching all the balls. It was. I mean, these guys are passionate, and they're all, they don't have any names anymore. It's all Instagram name.
Right.
At the real, you know, it's like, what's his name, though? But it's so much fun.
Right.
It's so cool.
But the high school I went to, it was a travel high school, so I didn't play for states. Our coach would like to say the same. We play for scholarships. So we played out of state. We were gone every weekend. We didn't have a home field. It was like, now, most of the people that went to the school, maybe 70. We all played football. Huh. We did have teachers, but our curriculum was online on the computer to prep us for college.
Okay.
So I was doing that. I've been the whole East Coast from Connecticut all the way down to Florida. Been to Kentucky, Tennessee, Texas, all up Midwest, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana to play football.
Right.
So I was getting exposed to a lot of great competition, a lot of great competition.
Is that where we're sort of headed now? Is like these schools that are just basically.
Yep.
I mean, let's be honest. Everybody wants to get into the NFL.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, it starts off from Pop Warner to, you know, high school or middle school, high school, college, and then hopefully you get an opportunity. But that does seem to be the goal now. And now, it used to be like, oh, yeah, we're in college, right?
Right.
I love listening to Shannon Sharp. He has a great spin on it. But he was there to play football, right? He was there to represent the college and then to eventually get into the NFL.
Right.
It's interesting now they're just having schools that are basically for college. I mean, for football.
Yeah.
And all the teaching is online.
They're preparing us early, you know, because you can see a lot of people got God-given talent, abilities at a young age.
Right.
And then sometimes people take a wrong path, but these schools and, you know, mentors or coaches, they're putting these programs together so kids can stay on that right path so they can change their surroundings. They don't have to be in that environment no more. So
it's wild.
You know, I was there for 3 years. Like I said, I was a starter. And unfortunately, you know, the funding of the school, we had to close down going into my senior year. So I've been away. I'm from Delaware. The school
was in
Maryland.
So what is that, private? Is that?
Yeah, it was a private school.
Okay, so.
Yeah. I was away for 3 years. You know, I was going to school in Maryland. You know, I was away. My mom couldn't come to every game. You know, we didn't even have a home field because we were traveling. So in my mind, I was like, I'm going to come back to Delaware so they can see me. Every game, every weekend, I can experience the high school feeling that, you know, traditionally we were talking about. Like, I never had a homecoming prep rally. I didn't even get to see the opposite sex in the hall or walk regular hallways, you know. Yeah. I was just jumping to class in the classroom on a laptop.
Wow.
So I decided to go to Caravelle Academy. I came back. And,
up in Middletown?
In Bear.
Bear.
I went there and had a great last 1 year high school experience. You know, they that community, the people's family, you know, Mr. Keister, he's not there as no more as the head, you know, the head principal of the school. They took me in and they treated me well, the faculty, the staff. I couldn't ask for more of a great opportunity to get an education there.
I've heard that's a great school.
It is.
Yeah.
Great. Their curriculum is, you know, their own because they're private, but they put you to work.
Yeah.
Put you to work as a high schooler.
And I think they've inspired other schools.
They did.
Yeah.
I heard that some other schools, you know, feeder in the same curriculum and how they go.
Yeah.
And then I had some good interests and good, you know, college, you know, decisions I wanted to go to. But unfortunately, right after our season, I had a meniscus surgery on my left knee. Right.
Jeez.
So
now, is that starting to become, you know, back, you know, 20 years ago, something like that, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, you're just not going to make it now.
Right.
But we see injuries now that maybe would have ended a career in the past, not ending a career. I mean, knees and shoulders, and I mean, especially knees. I mean, knees, I don't even, did Kyler Murray blow out his knee?
I think he had ACL, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, maybe the end of it.
Right.
But now he's like, I'll be back.
Yeah.
Be back next year.
Yeah.
I guess it has something to do with, like, the doctors nowadays and how they're repairing as well.
That, and then
there's a lot of technology on top of that.
The different technology today is different. Like,
well, you know who the main surgeon that fixes a lot of these is?
Who?
Works for the Cowboys.
Ah.
He does.
He's the man. Well, listen, you got a green hat on, man. Come on, man. You got a green team.
Listen, I grew up in New Mexico. We didn't have a team.
Come on. Man.
But no, I'm serious. You ever see that guy with the big hat, the big cowboy hat that walks out when the
I don't.
He is the main
surgeon. I don't
watch
no Cowboys.
Well, listen, if your player gets hurt, you'll need him. You're welcome.
I mean, I take it seriously. I don't never know what you might run into.
Right.
Listen, besides the teams, the point is that guy is major surgeon in fixing knees and injuries that happen. And,
yeah.
You know, it is all fun and games. We don't like the Cowboys, right? We don't like the Eagles. But when your kneecap's laying on the field and you need to get it fixed, all of a sudden we love the Cowboys, right? He is the main surgeon, and it's awesome because, listen, you could focus your whole life. Like your guys' stories. I mean, this started off as a kid. You spend your whole life getting
story.
To this one point, and you blow your knee out, and all of a sudden you're not playing anymore.
Right. Yeah. I thought about that for a sec. You know, it happened kind of weird. You know, the season's over. Now you start to just be a regular student. I'm thinking about playing regular sports, you know, other sports, because I haven't played in a while.
Right.
The high school I went to, we only had football. So I'm like, man, I used to play basketball. I'm still pretty good. I'm thinking about that. Track is coming up in the spring. I'm going to run track. I'm pretty fast. I'm walking in gym class. Everybody know in gym class as a senior, it's like a study hall. You just chilling. You know, you could do extra work. Mm-hmm. You might can go somewhere else, you know, get some extra help. So it was like a study hall. I'm just in gym walking, talking to one of my teammates, and my knee gave out. I fell.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That happened on a Monday. And I had surgery on Friday. So it was just the tissue off my bone came off and made my knee lock. So they grabbed the tissue back. It was like opposite of my leg.
Wow.
They took it, put it back, sewed it back down to the bone. And for like 2 months, I was on them crutches and then that
boot.
Yeah, that nice mobilizer cast that go all the way up to your hip. That thing sucked. Like, wow. I didn't really like that. So obviously interest, colleges went down. I wasn't discouraged.
That's gotta be challenging.
It was challenging.
I'd be like, oh, what happened?
It was challenging due to the fact that, you know, because, you know, your phone would ring or you get nice text messages from the people that you were talking to. Now you try to call them or text them, they're not responding. So it did hurt me a little bit, but it didn't make me give up. I was thinking about the JUCO route, like how Kevin was talking about, prep school route, where, you know, you just get a extra opportunity to show yourself more film if someone overlooked you or they forgot about you. And I was thinking about that. I'm honestly in the car coming home from doing, like, I was doing a landscaping job. Mm. I would work out during the day, and in the evening and afternoon, I would just go to work and, you know, make some money, you know, putting gas in the car, you know, help out around the house and maybe, you know, get some groceries or something. And I got a phone call from Delaware State. And his name was Coach Allen at the time. He was the quarterback's coach there. So I'm like, all right, you know, he was talking to me. Are you still interested, you know, of still playing football? I said, of course. He said he knew about my injury and everything. He said, we don't have no more money, but we got preferred walk-on. So I was like, hey, in my mind, we're on the phone. And I'm just thinking, I'm in-state. I can get in-state tuition. I got a great GPA coming from a great school, so that's some more money. And, you know, I can get put on some FAFSA to get some grants to help me out also. I'm all in. I just said it on the phone. I'm all in. So I get down there. August, you know, how everybody know training camp or, you know, summer camp for college sports.
Right.
Step in. First day. Granger, let me talk to you for a second. So I'm like, all right, cool. What's up? Like, you know what I mean? I was popular, you know, high school football and all that. Maybe that translation to college. I went to the head coach's office. He said, I know you play defensive back. What we saw on your high school film, are you playing wide receiver? We want you to play wide receiver. I said, whoa, this is crazy. Because I've been playing only DB in high school. I didn't. Only reason I played receiver as a Caravelle is being an athlete.
Right.
But at my old high school, I didn't need to play that. We had guys going at Michigan, West Virginia, UCLA. We got guys at Tennessee. They don't need me at wide receiver, right. You know? So I just embraced it. Maybe this is what, you know, you hear about a lot of people in college, they switch positions. Maybe this is my thing. College offense is difficult. I'm going to tell you that right now. Concepts, the terminology, when you're on the ball, when you're off the ball, whose route has what route, who's helping this person, it was difficult. I was a wide receiver for 2 weeks. I got cut. They cut me off the team.
Completely off the team.
Completely. Tragic. Completely. I try to plead to the head coach, like, let me get an opportunity to be on defense where that's what I do. Now we got guys on defense. We're good. Just cut me. He made me turn on my gear they gave us. And I was a regular student for my first time in my life. I was not playing football since I was six. So I was like, maybe this is what I got to do. Maybe I just a regular student. I was a business major. Maybe this is what I am. So I'm embracing the fact that I'm from Delaware. I was, you know, known for football. I'm a little popular. A lot of people I grew up with are at Del State. So maybe this is my calling. Spring comes. Those coaches get fired. He talked about Rob.
It is a cutthroat business. I mean, between players and coaches, it is like you don't know what's coming down the pipe.
Coaches get fired. Coach Rob Milstead came in, and I heard about it. I didn't know Coach Milstead, but hey, new coach stuff. Maybe it's a new opportunity for me. I get hype. So I just walk into the office one day, the coach's office, just to run into maybe just to plead my story. I had to do a walk-on tryout or something. As I'm walking by, I see a sign on one of the doors. It said, offensive coordinator Eric Day. Eric Day was my offensive coordinator in high school. Wow. So I was like, oh, snap. I just knocked on his door, and we gave each other a big hug. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you not playing football? You here? Yeah. I told him the whole shebang. Go down there to Coach James' office, the D coordinator. Tell him about your story. I go tell him. He said, look, we're new coaching staff. We're cutting people because, you know, we obviously see there needs to be a new change here. Come in the summer, we're going to talk about it some more. And I maybe give you a shot. So I'm working out every day. I'm getting back to the daily routine. I'm working out, going to do my DB drills, doing everything. But I keep emailing, go pop up the coaches of, hey, is it the time? I know it's not the summer, but is it the time? Can I? Oh, just hold off. And then one time, he actually gave me like an opportunity to sit down. We put my high school film up on his board. And he kept asking me, like, he knew the schools I was playing against. So why are you not playing football? Kept asking me, why are you not playing football? And I kept telling him, like, that's how I got here. Go to Justin. Justin was the manager for football. I go to Justin. I'm telling Justin. I'm pleading to him. All right, well, come to me this day. I come. Justin, I forgot. Come to me this day. I just was consistent and persistent of, like, I'm telling you, give me a shot. You won't regret it.
Do you think there was actually, like, some motivation behind, like, you know, come back the next day. Oh, I forgot. Like maybe these would be opportunities to be like, you know, get frustrated or, you know, maybe act out of character? Or do you think it was just it's just kind of how it was going?
I think it was how it was going at the time, mm-hmm. due to the fact, you know, they cut a lot of people. They was changing the program. They were trying to build something new rather than the old Del State.
Yeah.
Everybody, Del State had a great respect over the years, and then it just went down. Yeah. They were just losing. Coaches getting fired in 2 years rather than, that's not really heard of. You get people like 4 or 5 years to develop a program. How are you going to develop people in 2 years?
Right. Yeah.
You know, some people are seniors. Some people are juniors. You don't really get people when they're freshmen. So you could build them up as a character. you know, as a person, right. as a young man, to become men, you know? So they were doing that. So I think it was that. They weren't really focused on, you know, so I'm like, man, just give me opportunity. I am a person here that is willing to put in that work and play my role just to be on this team and then go further. So he was like, you know what? I'm going to put you on the roster. You're not going to have the tryout because I talked to Coach James. He vouching for you. So I said, shoot. I appreciate that. I don't even got to do the hard work if running a 40 or doing the shuttle, the things that we're doing right now to impress them. They were just impressing film. I get on the team, and I'm all special teams guy, you know, special teams guy. I'm on every special teams. I'm little, though. You know, I'm 5'9", but like a 160, 170.
Yeah.
I'm not really building any, you know what I mean? I'm not in a training program as them before coming in. So that was what I was, all right, this is my role. I'm on special teams. When my name gets called on defense, I'm ready. My name gets called on defense. We play in Howard, at Howard. And we're like 1-5, getting killed. This one, Cam Newton, little brother, was there. Caitlin Newton was there. He's playing quarterback. Two of the corners go down in front of me before the halftime. So the D corner, Granger, you're up. It's your turn. So I go out there, 30 seconds, then the half ends. So then now they, you know, at halftime, they get the game plan. Game plan, all right, young man, it's your turn. This your time to shine. The whole second half, I had 4 PBUs, 3 tackles, and my name was respected. At, you know, the commentators, just this guy is coming in. You know, he's a freshman. You know, they hyping me up. I started the last 6 games of that season. I got put on scholarship in the spring. I became a starter. I became a captain. And in my last 2 seasons, I mean, COVID wasn't really a season for us, but
yeah,
I was 2-time captain and 2-time all conference.
That's awesome, man.
You know, so now I'm in the stage where I got my degree in accounting and management, and now I'm about to graduate in the spring with my master's in sports administration. Due to the fact, how you say, like, I was staying persistent,
yep,
consistent on this is what I want to do. I'm not going to let someone else take it from me. I'm controlling what I can control as a person. It's being prepared, being ready, staying on time, you know, being a man of my word when I say I'm going to do something. Rather, I'm going to do it and then don't do it.
Yeah. Listen, there's a lot of people that will go through all the motions of what a person that's super driven would look like. It doesn't always mean that they're super driven. I mean, we're like, hey, I see that guy is really super driven. If I act like that,
right.
Maybe. But people can see through it. You know, people figure out who you are. I mean, we may think we're doing one thing and trying to, you know, what seems like the right thing. And to another person, they're like, I see what he's doing and I appreciate that, even though I don't know if he realizes it, right? So it looks like you've been given a lot of great opportunities to shine.
Yeah. That's all I asked for.
Right. That's all we asked for, right? Just give me an opportunity.
That's all I asked for.
And shine. And so let's move. We're moving to the left. So what's up, my man? How are you?
How you doing, boss?
I'm doing well.
How you doing?
So share a little of your story. You got in a little late, but
yeah, I had a little car trouble.
That's all right.
My story is definitely a little different. I'm from Camden, New Jersey. Definitely a lot of ups and downs. My journey period. You've
seen Pearl Jam in Camden a few times. Big band.
Jersey.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Love Pearl Jam in Jersey, Camden, New Jersey.
Was a 4-star out of high school. I went to University of Michigan for about 3 years. A lot of ups and downs there.
That's a big school.
Yeah, yes, sir. A lot of scout team reps over there. A lot of scout team with player of the weeks, and you know what I mean? Position changes. A lot went on there. And I went and played a year at Towson University after that.
So what position are you playing?
Defensive line.
Defensive line,
yes,
okay.
Sir. I played D-tackle, So basically my high school experience, I was like a DN, so like I'm more like a tweener all around type of D lineman, you know what I'm saying? So like my game pretty much, I'm just a D lineman period. So
is that like a Micah Parsons?
Nah, I'm not a Mark. Well, what a DN part.
Well,
I'm
just saying, like, they keep, like, they'll take a guy like him, or you see a lot, and they just move him around. Like, you just don't know
like
where.
Like a TJ Watt.
He could stand up and play backer, though. I can't do nothing like that.
Okay. He's more like an Aiden Hutchinson. You
I'm
know?
More like an Aiden Hutchinson.
Or like a Aaron Donald.
He just wanted to throw Micah in there. That's all.
He's one of the Calgary. You know, right?
Hassan Reddick. Let's talk about
yo.
Him.
But listen, to anybody, the only reason I brought him up is because he seemed to sort of have a position, and then they just really like double team him. So he's constantly moving. I know a lot of people are like that. Yeah. He just happened to be the one because he gets frustrated. And
or he just played for the Cowboys.
What's your team? I forgot. You like
Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles. That's right.
We like the Eagles.
Yeah.
I only like the Cowboys because my high school quarterback, Marquise Bell, plays for them now. So that's the reason why I like them. And that was my most favorite team.
We'll take a new fan. We appreciate you.
No.
Board, bro.
He was a quarterback?
Marquise Bell was a quarterback, man. And a wide receiver. He played everything.
He did it all. Yeah.
So that's the reason why I like the Cowboys. That's why I tolerate them. I don't like them. I tolerate them because, you know, my boy on that team now. So I was like, okay.
What happens if you just like football? I love football.
No, I love football. I love football, too. So I got a team. But you are a
Cowboys
fan.
I love San Francisco. Big fan of the Bengals. Big fan of the Lions. Right, you just mentioned your one guy on the corner there. Love the Lions. I love to see a team like the Jets, teams that have been in the kind of at the bottom for a while and now starting to figure it out.
Heck yeah!
Listen, I love football. I love the USFL.
No, listen,
USFL
like,
starts in April.
I like all football.
I'm really eager to watch
I like
that.
All football.
If you like football, watch the USFL because it is good.
I do.
The running back for or not the running back the punt returner for the Cowboys. Sorry. But he Turpin, was on
Turpin,
he was on the USFL MVP rant. I watched him run three returns for touchdowns in one game, and now who does he play for?
Cowgirls.
That's right.
I'm crying.
Cowgirls.
I like cowgirls. That's fine. That's good. But the point is, it's just listen, man. You watch some of these players. You may think, you know, you look at like a guy that. Like Hurts, right? He goes to play for the Eagles.
Right.
Seems like he'll probably be there for a while.
Probably.
But there's 20 guys behind him that have been on a team every year. I mean, who was the Johnson?
Josh Johnson for the 49ers.
Yeah, I think he's been like on the 49ers twice before.
Yeah, he was like on 13 different teams.
Yeah, so.
John's been in the league since.
Yeah, he was in the league for a while.
Was he on the Buccaneers?
Probably.
I think so. I can't believe he got concussed. I was like, dude.
I'm like, how the heck? This is probably his first game.
But the point is that, you know, ideally we would love to be, you know, where, I guess ideally we'd love to be in the NFL, period.
No,
right. But, you know, you don't pick and choose, and it's you know, practice squads or whatever it is. You never know the path, but it's hopefully somewhere in that NFL. But, you know, we're seeing like the XFL, the USFL. There's a lot of opportunities.
CFL.
CFL. One of the things that I've always thought was kind of a bummer is that a lot of talent doesn't make it. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, it can just be this lucky moment, right? Like meeting your old coach and like getting this opportunity, which may have never happened.
Right.
And doesn't happen for 100 other guys just like you.
Right.
That kind of just end up not doing anything. So it's great to see.
Tom Brady played 1 year at Michigan. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like some people get complacent. That's all. They feel like, you know, they feel like they're giving another man authority over their decision. That's not right. That's why I feel as though, like, you should have no limit. I don't care if you want to go to NFL. If you got to play Arena League football, USFL, like, I don't really care where I go. I just want to play football because I love the game. I love the game.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's what I know. So if it comes to the fact where I have to play arena football to get to my goal, it doesn't matter how long I take to get there. Just as long as you get there.
That's right.
That's all it's about. It's all about destination.
You gotta just be about football, you know. You can't let another person tell you can't do something or this is what you only can do, you know. So if you have that mindset, you're going to fall short of some of your blessings that's coming towards you. Because how I see it, when my neighbor's getting blessed, there's blessings in the neighborhood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't see it as where someone, you know, say like they're entitled or something. I've never felt entitled of anything. Even though I had a lot of success in high school, little league, even now in college, I still walk around that humble guy that, you know, I like the joke, but I know when the time to be serious. And there's times to be serious about what you do, the way you carry yourself and the way you walk around here, because we don't get that time back. We got here at 10:30. I don't get 10:30 back again today, you know?
Well, and the other thing is that you take a Brock Purdy, right, who was what? Mr. Irrelevant.
Right.
Yes. Right?
Third string.
And who was the guy?
He was the last guy drafted.
So you know who the second to the last guy drafted was?
No.
The guy that played the quarterback behind Tua at Miami.
Oh,
what was his name? He was the second to the last.
Fitzgerald?
No.
That's old. He's older. He talking about right now.
Oh, right now.
Yeah, he just played. He when Tua was out, he played.
Skylar Thompson.
Skylar Thompson.
Oh, yeah. He was Kansas State.
Second to last person to be drafted.
Yeah.
He was the Mr. Irrelevant backup.
And he almost won them that game.
And he played awesome.
Yeah,
so
he almost won them that game.
The point is, you never know, man. Right. You just got to keep hanging in there. For yes, sir. Might get an opportunity. So what? I'm sorry, we cut your story off. Wrong. Yeah, yeah. Pull that microphone up a little bit more. So where did you start off?
I started off at University of Michigan, like I said.
Did you play in? Did you start off in high school, in elementary school?
I started off playing football. Period.
Yeah, sure. Little of your journey, man.
So I started off playing football when I was about 7 years old. A lot of my friends, you know what I'm saying? I used to just play in the park. Like my dad wasn't in my life around the time. I just used to play in the park or what have you. I brought the permission slip home that my friend actually got because he signed up earlier that day or whatever. He brought it to me, you know what I'm saying? I brought it to my mom. She filled it out, and it took over from there. It took over my life, honestly.
So it doesn't need to become about personal stuff, but you mentioned you didn't have your dad. Did it feel good to be part of a group of guys, a team? You know, where's that?
Absolutely. I don't know. It just always was like my go-to friends. Like, I always had friends because of the game of football. So, yeah. I always just loved it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense. Always have a team.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, somebody to back me.
Uh-oh. Light went out.
Hey, Goat, I think your light died.
Oh, he's all right. So, you got early on and then what? Found you loved it in high school? And
I actually stopped playing football until I was like 10 years old. I started playing again, started playing running back, and then, you know what I'm saying, yeah. I kind of fell in love with it. My motor, I kind of was better than everybody. I started to get a little bigger.
You're big.
Yeah.
You're a big guy. The sun disappeared when you walked in front of the door.
And, it just took off from there. Eighth grade, I was like basically getting recruited from all these different high schools and whatnot, and I decided to go to my pop's high school, my actual real dad, high school, whatever, because I wanted to, you know what I mean, demolish everything he had going on there.
Yeah.
But actually, we actually have a good relationship through this game, honestly. You know what I'm saying? My dad, well, football brought me closer to my dad. My dad played football as well.
Facts.
Played running back at Wisconsin. Came home after tearing his knee up, what have you, had me 2 years later. So, you know what I'm saying? He kind of was, like, depressed and whatnot, like, very depressed, and kind of was hiding out, you know what I'm saying? And, well, like, during my youth, I would say, he was kind of, like, very depressed. I don't really know, like, you feel me, a lot of the details. He don't, like, really tell me anything apart.
Well, anytime you're part of something like that and really putting a lot of work and suffering, so to speak, this is a test.
Really tough.
You know, it brings humility out in us. It feels good to be a part of that and to be, you know, to get injured and then, like, you know, give us all your equipment, you're out.
Yeah.
You're
like,
but
that joint really big. That made me feel some type of way.
Yeah, you can really, I mean,
But also, it kind of helped me. So when I got injured in college, I actually got injured at Towson, transferring from Michigan. I was balling. I had a great season. I had tore my ACL. It, like, put me in that same state, but I always would think of him, you know what I'm saying, not wanting to be, you know what I mean, like that. Like, I didn't want to hide out. I didn't want to, like, hide myself from anyone. I wanted to prevail from it, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to be better, so. It just kind of helped me. Like, his story kind of helped me. Like, that's how
awesome.
I see it.
That's very cool. Yes. So the Michigan, that must have been crazy. That's big. I mean, did you play on TV?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
It was a lot of big games.
That's big time.
A lot of good coaching. I actually learned, like, some real football there. You know what I'm saying? I would honestly say I ain't really know football until, like, going there day in, day out. I remember my freshman year. Like, I was being pulled out of reps, like, pulled out of practice reps, like, going through drills and whatnot.
Yeah.
It did something to you mentally then, but, like, I knew why he did it. He wanted me to watch. Like, he wanted me to watch everybody else go, like, throughout the days. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just being a Michigan football player was different. Like, it's a, you feel me? I basically was saying there, like, the Michigan difference. And I never really knew what it meant until I knew what it meant.
You know,
what
I'm saying? Until
you were there. Yeah, like, you have to really, like, be in that cult to understand.
It's like, remember the movie Rudy?
That's my favorite movie. My
father's my favorite movie.
Notre Dame.
Every time I cry.
Rudy.
I'm like, I'm not going to cry at this. And then
that's my favorite movie. My dad always told me that.
But it's, you know, it's green and gold, right? Every day, all night, you know,
it's football 24/7, you know what I'm saying? And, like, a great coach like Coach Harbaugh really, like, open your eyes because he know every position. He could really tell you in detail what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
And, you feel me, correct you and really coach you up, you know what I'm saying? And you had that from all different avenues, from your D-line coach, your D-coordinator, offensive coordinators could coach you up, you feel me? And I play defense, you know what I'm saying? So it just kind of like woke up a different side of football, and, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you remember the part where they all turned in their jerseys to give them
to give Rudy a chance to play against Georgia Tech?
Yeah. That is like, you know, that's one of the great things about being on a team, right, is you get this group of guys that are all like-minded, all wanting the same thing, but all wanting to see each other really do awesome. And I'll never forget when they – I mean, you know, maybe that was the first time maybe a little tear came out of that movie.
Once his brother looked at him and pointed, and his dad and his family was happy, it's like, because it's like, honestly, like, that movie was like kind of a reflection of my life, the same thing that he went through. At being at Lackawanna, trying to get into different D1s, and you're not getting no callbacks. It's like, you know, you tend to give up. Like, this game that we play, it's a dangerous game, and it comes with a lot of sacrifices. You know, it comes with a lot of emotions. And that's why I think when some people stop playing this game, they get some people who don't know what their next move is. Like, my last game at Dell State, I'll cry because I was like, I don't know what's next.
Right.
Man, it's over. I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's just this game, man. It's a lot of emotions. You leave your family behind. Like, I love my mom has like a lot of health problems right now. God willing, and we're gonna pray that it gets healed. But like, when you leave that behind, and you know, you leave your family, your nephew, niece behind, watch them grow, that's really expensive pain. Like, that's really something you really got to deal with. So it was like every day you go out there at 5 a.m. and you working out, you think like, I got a lot of people depending on me to do this.
Yeah,
you know, and that's when not the stress kicks in, that's when the dog kicks in. That's when you're like, you know what, yeah, this is where I want to be. You know,
dog.
I'll train teach you that too, man. Out there, Coach Mike running. You gotta lock in. You gotta lock in, man, because Coach Mike's gonna remind you. He's gonna remind you. Coach Mike's gonna remind you that, yo, we're here now. We're here. And that's what I love about Coach Mike, man. He gave us opportunity to come here and be great and make some of ourselves, because we didn't have to. He didn't have to let us come here at all, because we had plans just training ourselves at Dell State. We didn't have anybody. Right. And Coach Mike, Cornell Marquise Gillis came along, and he introduced Coach Mike. Coach Mike said, you know, I got you guys. Don't worry about anything. I got it.
I love it. And I follow you guys on Instagram, and you know, the first time I did the podcast, I thought, oh, Mike's just training football players. No, that's not the case. Mike's training a lot of people, because I see a lot of other people on there too. So that's awesome, because you know, it's easy to just work with one sort of group, but he's got, you know, a lot of girls and football players and just all sorts of people going on. A lot of action over there at Outtrain. So we love Mike, and
we'll get to it.
I appreciate you guys' story. We got to wrap it, but where are we going? Combine. So what's this going to be like? Is this, are we nervous? We ready? What are we thinking?
We ain't got nothing to lose at this point.
Not nervous at all. Nothing to lose. You know what I'm saying? Everything to gain moving forward. That's the mindset.
Yeah.
I just want the opportunity. That's all. I've seek greatness at every time I had an opportunity. I took advantage of it. That's all I want. I just want an opportunity. I don't want to feel someone to give me a promise or I'm going to do this for you. Just get me into the position where I can show my skill sets.
Just get me ready to be the next man up.
Right. Yeah. I just believe I got confidence in myself. First of all, in football, you got to have confidence in yourself. If you don't have confidence in yourself, you're going to get blown out of water. Someone's going to take your head off. Someone's going to hurt you. You're going to hurt someone, because it's a violent game, but also this is the only thing legal. You actually get hit someone.
Yeah.
And don't get in trouble. You know? So it's like some people got some big up anger up in them.
Yes.
Some people really have some different, you know, feelings towards you just because you wear a different color, a different jersey.
Yeah.
So they might see you as someone else. You might be someone they picture they hurt somebody or somebody they don't like or something they yeah. fear.
And that's
so
the sickness in the game.
In football,
that's the sickness
in football, it's like that's what makes it dangerous. But then I love it because as you in my story, it gave me a lot of opportunities to build me up as a young man, you know. That's all. The word opportunity means a lot for me. Just every time I got that chance, even if it was small, point one, point nothing, I have took something out of it and got something out of it for me to make me better.
Is there, like, obviously it's violent. We see people hitting each other, but, you know, I always think to myself, I go, these guys, you know, besides the fact that they're in the NFL, besides all this, they have to still be compassionate about another human.
Oh, yeah.
And so, because, you know, right?
Right.
Okay, because, you know, at some point you're like, you don't want to hurt somebody, right? I mean, maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe that is what you want to do, but you don't want them to be paralyzed, right?
Yeah.
You never want to see, like, you don't want to hit somebody in the head to such a point where, like, what's the point, right? Like,
right.
I noticed when I watched, like, even this past weekend, there was some hard hitting. Like, yeah. There was some, especially in the Eagles game, there was some aggression.
Yes.
But you can see through, like, a season, you know, they hit. Sometimes it looks worse from the front, you know, the camera view. They'll sometimes show to see if he's in bounds or they dropped the ball. And you're like, oh, he didn't really hit him exactly like I thought. So, but do you think about that? Do you think, like, hey, we still got to make it through this season?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the game is, like, I feel like the game is getting soft nowadays. Because it's, like, back in the day, you had people playing football. You had guys playing with broken noses. And, you know, they get right back in the game. Nowadays, you can't even get a clear shot on a quarterback without getting a flag thrown at you. It's like the game's getting soft. Right. If you want to, you know, play a soft sport, go play baseball. You know, go play basketball, something like that. But football is a man's sport. Football really is the only sport. Football is the only reason why I'm not in jail or a product of my environment, because it's a way for you to express your anger. It's a way for you to it just takes you places you've never been before. But basically,
well,
by
what
anger
I was
going to
say,
an
so but the, yeah. we still have, you know, if people are getting hurt, moms aren't going to let their little kids play football.
Right.
Yeah, if your
so
mom's
you
soft,
you got to find a balance between.
I wouldn't say it's getting soft though. It's just bringing more awareness to the offensive player and like
offices,
the effects.
It's offensive,
like,
game now.
Yeah. And they just six out of concussion.
Like. But you got to understand that, you know what I mean? It's just, it has to be, because also, we're defensive players. We're not looking to be soft. That's our whole objective.
Yeah, we want to be aggressive. We got to be the aggressor. Yeah.
You know, but he's saying, so, like, if your mom doesn't want you to play anymore. At 6 years old, I had my concussion, and my bone was, like, literally poking out my forehead. My mom was scared, but you're still going to bed to play football because this is what you want to play? You love this sport? I said, yes, you're going to play it. She could have easily torn the field, and I could never play it again.
Well, I think people got to understand football is 100% injury. Yeah. There's no time you're not going to be, like, hurt.
Sure.
There's difference between hurt and injury, you know, but no one that plays 100%. Well, in any sport, in season, basketball, football, hockey, baseball, when you're in season, you're never 100%.
I'm not even in football and I'm injured. So welcome to growing old.
It's the way of life.
This morning, my ankle hurts.
So, I mean, you do think about that. You know, the injury part is when it actually happens. Now it's, what do I got to do to recover? How bad is it? Is it playable? I mean, I guess we talked about it before we started. Like, Pat Mahomes got a whole high ankle sprain, bad grade. It's like almost a grade, what, 3?
Yeah.
And he went out there and played, and they won the game. You know what I mean? So it takes dedication.
Man,
you know, he probably went through a lot of pain. You know what I mean? Even Jalen Hurts, you know, he got a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
He sat out for 2 games. He's still not healthy. But it's the sacrifices that we take to see greatness in the game, you know?
Well, I like I like the softer. I'll use your words. Because I want football to be around.
Yes.
We were on a trajectory that was like, if these kids are going to be hurt and with brain injuries and we're not going to address it, we're not going to have football one day. right? It's going to be a lot less people playing, and so I appreciate, you know, some of the rules that have been put in place to try to help protect some, and even the players. Like, what is that? What's the one where the guy comes around and I forget the term, but he's like, that should be illegal. I think Micah Parsons is the one that said it, the chip block.
I think
He's like, that should be illegal. It only people get hurt from that. I get it. It's part of the game, but it isn't benefiting.
I mean,
the game,
how you said, is changed, you know, offensive wise, you know, protect the players, but also it comes with coaching and technique. Yeah. You know, there's a way to tackle. It might hurt in the impact, but there's nothing resulting where you might have a bruise, you might be sore. Just like if you lift weights and then you ran outside, you say you went for a run.
Yeah.
You're going to be sore after running.
Yep.
After you lift some weights, you're going to be sore. Yep. So, I mean, you're doing something right, but it also takes to you staying on your technique and the coaching that comes with it. Because if there's no proper coaching and proper technique, you're going, like I said, you're going to hurt someone or you're going to hurt yourself because you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
You're just swinging your head out there or you're swinging your arm. And next thing you know, someone's taking out the game because of something. But there's also freak accidents in football, just like basketball. Yeah. It takes one awkward move. Knee, one awkward step, foot, you know.
Who's the guy that pushed Mahomes out of bounds there at the end?
The rookie from the Bengals.
Instant karma when he hyperextended his knee and twisted his ankle.
Yeah, I seen that. But thing is, in that position right there, you can do two things. He's running at high speed, so either you could stop yourself and you're going to hyperextend your knee anyway, or you could just try to launch yourself into someone and, you know, fall.
Yeah.
And obviously, he did the second option, but either way, he was going to be doomed.
I'll just let him run out of bounds.
Cool. Yeah, I would have just let him run.
Yeah, but he was already, like, he was literally already reaching. By the time Mahomes like was going over the out of bounds line, he was already reaching. So, like, he couldn't stop himself. So he was going to go to the bench anyway.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, we could talk this football stuff all day because I love it. Thank you guys for coming on here and letting me be part of this. I think it's so cool.
Thank you.
It's just a fun little podcast I get to do. But if you guys make it to the NFL, I'm going to be so jazzed.
I just cannot wait to come back and actually, when all the process is over and all the work's been put in, all the hay's in the barn, we're going to come back here and we're going to give you guys a summary. But,
please. Yes. Well, and we watch shows like Hard Knocks now and we see, you know, in my mind, prior to like learning about it, it's either you make the NFL or you don't, right?
Yeah.
But there's you see it all the time. Hey, we aren't going to bring you on the team, but we're going to put you on the practice squad.
That's cool with me, man.
Hell yeah.
That's cool.
Opportunity.
Because next man up, right?
That's cool.
And we saw this in its finest moment during the San Francisco game where they had no quarterback.
Right. Christian McCaffrey, a quarterback.
They should have done something. Well, I saw a thing yesterday. They said they're thinking about bringing back the emergency quarterback rule, which is at least three quarterbacks are suited up for every game.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see how that works. But, you know, so the point is like, hey, it may be through the practice squad. It may be through the USFL. It may be through the XFL. Some path, maybe through Michigan. But eventually, if you hang in long enough and you do it long enough, you just get the opportunity.
Yes. That's all we asking for here. You know what I mean? Yes, we did.
I'll make some calls, guys. Well, listen, fellas, thank you so much.
Appreciate you, man.
And please, I like that. Go get on the NFL. Do whatever it is you do. Be awesome at it. And come back and share it with us.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it.
Sounds good.
For the brand.
Yeah, for the...
For the brand.
But, you know, not many people recognize this. So thank you. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Mike, thank you.
Yes.
Mike's around here somewhere. And...
Hey, shout out Outrain Sports, man. Come out here. Come get work.
OT.
All work, no BS, man. So if you're going to come to OT, please prepare to work. We're gonna get out there, man.
No water breaks.
Thank you.
It's no water breaks at all. No water breaks.
What are you doing over there, Mike?
Shout out to the show.
Give these guys water.
Nah, he good.
All right. Well, listen. Good luck, fellas, and I hope you guys have amazing careers or whatever it is you're doing.
I appreciate it,
you
man.
You already got your drip going on. I love that.
You gotta carry yourself.
I need some for the brand drip. I ain't gonna hold you.
I had to buy. I have a T-shirt. You guys can have T-shirts, but they might be larger than the extra large.
Okay.
So, but thanks, guys. We'll catch you later.
All right.
Bye.